Good morning, Tracy. How are we this fine day?
I'm well. Lovely sunny day.
Yeah, it feels like spring.
It sure does.
Again. Mm-hmm. After yesterday's winter.
Oh, yesterday was very wintry.
Everybody that walked through the door said, it's winter out there.
It's true, right? It was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. We're going to pay for that February and March.
Yeah.
So where it was surprisingly sunny and not rainy was Vancouver.
You were there.
I was in Vancouver.
Oh, lovely.
I love taking a trip to the big city.
It's fun.
It is.
Nice.
It's all about exploration. Mm-hmm. Right?
And that's today's topic, the art of exploration. So tell us, what did you explore?
Well, we went down with two specific purposes in mind.
Yes.
One is to go to Mountain Equipment Co-op because with my daughter traveling to England this summer, she needed specialized equipment and backpacks that carry everything bigger than she is.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. But we were kind of challenged to find something that fit her, mm-hmm. that was adjustable because she's still growing and still carries absolutely everything you could possibly want for 3 weeks. Thus, we were at the big MEC.
3 weeks in, did you get good advice and find what you needed?
Yeah, the people there were great. I mean, that's their job, right? Mm-hmm. They know, okay, you're going where? You got to carry what? Okay, here's what you do.
And it's perfect. They're all about exploring.
Exactly.
They're professional explorers, aren't they?
And so we watched in amazement as he bundled a sleeping bag into something the size of a sausage. It was quite...
Really?
It was, I just wanted to video it because he just kept going and going, and then he'd push and squeeze and roll, and I'm like, what? It's crazy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the original explorers, what their Mountain Equipment Co-op was. I could just see Samuel de Champlain.
The Hudson Bay Company?
Yeah. Samuel de Champlain telling the king, okay, here's the thing. I'm going across the ocean. I'm going to need a boat and some beds and maybe some food and something warm. I hear it's cold over there. Can you imagine planning his trip? It's a little to-do list.
It is kind of amazing anyone survived, really.
And he went back and forth six times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's in us to explore.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
We want to, and we have to honor it, right? We can't stay home forever. It feels happy and comfortable and safe, but you just got to get out.
Well, yeah. What's that expression? A ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are for.
That's right. It's not what ships are built for.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. And so we have to remember that it's okay to leave town.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's been a whole lot of
stuff staycations
and good, shop local, which is, I'm totally behind that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not about just zipping off to the neighboring town just to shop at a big box store. Mm-mm. I don't do that. But I think it's just important to get out and experience other cities' offerings, especially their cultural offerings, because they act as inspiration.
That's right. So what was the second thing?
The second thing was to see the Vancouver Art Gallery Cézanne exhibition.
Oh.
Yes. Cézanne and the Moderns. Now this is a collection of Roman collection that has traveled not to Canada anyway, in like 50 years, we haven't seen these works.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So 20 Cézannes, only two oils, and the rest watercolors. So they weren't kind of your typical Cézannes that you get like all fired up about.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Van Gogh, which was like just, when my one daughter, who's not as interested in galleries, saw two other rooms full of artwork while the three of us stood in front of the Van Gogh.
It
was just that luscious.
Yes.
We just couldn't take our eyes off those heavy brush strokes. It's like he was right
there.
It's
hard to explain that feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
It is to see the real gobs of paint in real life. And you see that last brush stroke on that golden wall and you're like, oh my God.
I know. He did that. He was here. Yeah.
He was there.
Yeah.
So it was the Stagecoach painting, which was done in a single afternoon. And in his letter to Theo that day, because, you know, he wrote to his brother Theo every single day.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Sometimes
that.
Twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
In his letter to Theo, he said, oh, I just did this painting. And he would draw a sketch of the paintings he did that day for his brother in the letters. And he said, I hardly have the brain to draw. I did this painting in one afternoon, so I can't give you a sketch of the thing I did today.
Wow.
Yeah. He was really an amazing, short-lived artist, but wow, just passion, super deep passion. Anyway, okay.
And the commitment to exploring the process by telling other people.
Yes.
Because some artists are very introverted.
That's true.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah. And they have their own private experience, but he traveled and he moved around and he was madly preparing for Gauguin's arrival because Paul Gauguin came and lived with him for a while. Mm-hmm. They worked together. But Vincent wanted to have all of his own artwork up on the walls when Gauguin arrived.
Wow.
So that's why he was out furiously painting.
Isn't that funny?
Yes, to make sure that his territory was firmly entrenched, right? Like, this is my style.
Just so we're clear.
Yeah.
You're on my turf, dude.
Yeah. So that's why.
And I guess we sort of do that when people, I mean, there's one thing to go out and visit, but when people come to visit, you want everything to be perfect.
You too. And you want to show them everything that's kind of quintessential you, mm-hmm. right? Everything that's your community. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, okay. So I just have to say, so I also got to see a couple of Modiglianis, ooh. Which is quite exciting. And the lovely stories behind them. It's mm-hmm. all about the story, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just the stories are fascinating. And a Pissarro mm-hmm. was in the collection. What else? A Manet. Saw mm-hmm. a Manet. So, you know, it was a really lovely collection. But anyway, the other part of the exhibit was the Herzog
yes.
Architecture exhibition. And that was very inspirational, not because I needed to see the copper model of the Bird's Nest Stadium for the Beijing Olympics.
Wow.
But, which, I mean, for architecture people, that is very exciting, right?
I would imagine. I love maquettes. They're so, so awesome.
Well, it always kind of surprises me how, you know, like artists, we're funny people. We start with something so basic and in form and design, and we can see it, right?
Yes.
We're like scribble, scribble, scribble.
Yes.
And we know what we know what that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, it's a scribble. It's yes. just some boxes just, on a page.
That? Yes. But yeah, you just have to work it through.
Yeah.
Did you see, you know, did you go to Granville Island?
Yes.
Oh, and there's that little maquette shop in there, and I always peek in the window, and they have the little cars and the little trees and the little pretend condominiums. That would be the best job ever.
Yeah.
Also, lots of glue, though, maybe not.
Yeah. So. I also went into paper, yeah. And I thought of you.
You did.
I know, because I said, oh, Louise would be wishing she's with us now.
I would.
I love paper, yeah.
I do. I have an addiction. Stationary addiction.
It
a
is
stationary
so...
affliction.
Yeah. It is so hard to walk out of there without another notebook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have too many notebooks.
That's true.
That's like saying you run out of things to explore.
Yeah. But speaking of discovering and mm-hmm. exploration, so we're walking after Granville Island Public Market, we're walking past Emily Carr mm-hmm. and Layla aspires to go there someday.
Mm.
So we just had she to kind of close, go, you know, walk up to the door, you know, just on the imaginings of someday visiting her there. And there's a little hole, like it's a big cement building, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this little hole that probably was a electrical outlet at some point. And there's some vines kind of growing around it. But the outlet, whatever the stuff was, the wires had been removed. So somebody had filled that little tiny hole with a little tin village.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, little houses made out of tin cans with little doors and little roofs.
Oh, fantastic.
It was adorable.
Wow, so, random acts of art.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know, those kinds of things are the things that inspire me when I get home. I think,
yes.
Oh, man, it's all about creating those little surprises,
mm-hmm.
telling our story through the visual surprise.
Yes.
So
we love to be surprised, don't we?
We do. We love to be sort of like taken, you know, like just a new thing, something that we maybe have walked by every day for a long time. And all of a sudden we look and go, hey,
mm-hmm.
where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm. And there's really, it is quite impactful when you go away, even just for a few days. And it just sort of refreshes your point of view and reminds you of all the possibility. And, I mean, for some people, travel is a chore.
Yeah, it's work.
They do it for work.
Yeah.
Right in there, in hotel lobbies and airport lounges. And
doing a lot of waiting.
Waiting. Hurry up and wait. But I mean, the only traveling I've done lately is for work. And even there, I find there's really cool stuff to explore.
Yeah. So where did you go?
Well, I've gone to Fort St. John 3 times since the fall for a project I was working on. And what struck me every time is how diverse it is. Like, one, I was there 3 days, and we went to, like, 6 different ethnic restaurants.
Oh, wow.
You know,
because travel is all about the food.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Vietnamese, we did Indian food, we did Italian, you know, like, there was all. And so it's not just about the kind of the big box chains or, you know, all about oil money. It's much more, it's much deeper than that. It's so interesting.
So you found lots of diversity there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's, It's a well-kept secret.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and it reminded me a lot of where I grew up, North Bay, which is quite north, and the same kind of landscape, and you know, the big sky that we don't necessarily see here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The sky that goes on forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people feel comforted by the mountains.
Yes,
and some people feel that they block the view.
And the Peace River, holy Nelly, that thing is big.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I canoed the Peace River once.
Did you really?
Yeah, did an overnighter. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, we don't know enough about the north.
We don't. It's a totally different land up there. And same with going to the east in Canada.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you think you're all Canadian. Oh my gosh. It's like a whole other culture on the east coast. So, you know, it's good to travel and explore your own country. We're very vast. We have a lot of different, we're very diverse. And we have a lot of different subcultures within our country.
Yeah.
And we should absolutely explore them.
And our sense of space, you know, it's important to get your sense of space. Like last week we talked about maps and trying to look at maps on smartphones, but I can't do that. I need to see it as part of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Or was that last week? I mean, if you think about space, like France fits into Quebec 5 times.
Crazy.
France.
Yeah.
Vancouver Island is bigger than the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I think so. Oh, I hope so. I'm pretty sure.
Now that you've said it,
right?
Yeah,
no, but so we have no idea how big, how vast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so there's so much opportunity.
Yeah, that our own country is. You mean?
Yeah. What else did you see in Vancouver?
Well, I mean, the big thing for us is the food. Like we just said, I don't know, but we get excited to go to our favorite food places. This time, though, we explored all different food places.
New food.
Yeah, new food, which we thought, okay, really? Well, it's partly because we discovered that our favorite Japanese noodle shop, Kintaro. No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's still there. Everything's fine. We were lined up like usual.
Okay.
And looking at the menu, and because my one daughter has become a vegetarian, she's been for now like 8-9 months. And what we didn't realize is that all of the broths in that noodle shop are made with a pork base.
Oh.
Yeah. So we couldn't eat there.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make anything vegetarian for her. So we said, you know what? That's fine. We'll just find something new. We ended up, we went to a Korean restaurant. Mm. First time we've eaten Korean food.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that was fun. I had kimchi fried rice and we had some other things we can't pronounce. And we also went to the Nam.
Yes. Right?
Which is a vegetarian
restaurant. Yes, famous.
Yeah. And we went to a sushi place that is an Oceanwise sushi place. And the three of us had a fish thing, but she had all veggie sushi. So it worked out great. We tried all three new places.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, I'm hungry now.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yeah, but Granville too, Granville Island.
Oh, that's my favorite
place.
You
can't go there having just eaten somewhere else.
No.
Because you got to buy one thing.
Oh, yeah.
From all those things, like the spinach knishes.
Yes.
Have you had those warm spinach knishes?
I don't think I've had the spinach, but the pretzel bagels.
Oh, yeah. I know. And you just can't stop yourself, right? You're just like, oh, I got it. Because we don't get that at home, so I got to try that.
Exactly.
I got to try that.
Exactly.
And you end up leaving and having gained 5 pounds in one day.
That's all right.
It's okay. So anyway, okay. So that was our little exploration start. Upcoming for us.
Yes. So we're going out of town this weekend to the Arts BC annual conference in Penticton.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Penticton.
You've never been to Penticton?
No. I mean, I've driven through.
Okay, you got to go to Theo's restaurant.
Theo's restaurant, okay.
It's the best Greek restaurant in the world.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, sorry. See, again, all about the food.
All about the food.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Penticton is quite lovely. It's almost like a miniature Kelowna.
Huh.
Except, you know, they haven't gotten that big sprawl thing going. Well, I guess they do a little bit out to the south. They sprawled down, but they've still kept a really tidy little downtown.
Lovely.
That's really pretty.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the gallery is right on the water. It's really lovely.
Wow. So it'd be great. So now we get to touch
base. I just realized.
Oh, what?
I have to take you to that bookstore.
Oh, and there's a bookstore. See there, my weekend's already.
You're set.
I
think it's just called the Bookshop.
Yes.
And it's a used bookstore. And it is one of those places that it's like a Harry Potter bookstore, right?
Okay.
You go in and you just smell the old books and they're stacked everywhere. You can hardly move.
Yeah.
And every room you go into, you see that there's another room beyond. It's all, it just keeps going
way
and going.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we talked the teen
Yes, that's right, because that's Saji's favorite bookstore. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's always, you know, so when I go away and I go exploring, I always go to the bookstore. I always look for a market, some sort of food. Yeah. I love grocery stores, too, like little not chain grocery stores.
Yeah.
The art gallery, and of course, stationery. Yes. Stores. So that's me. There's my day done, you know.
You don't need to go to the conference at all. You just can experience Benedictine.
No, I think that, yeah. In fact, I think there is a conference where there's absolutely no topic. It's just go and talk.
Yeah.
Right? Well, free form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this one is, ArtsBC conferences are very typically a lot about sharing.
Yes.
So they actually pull from their membership to do presentations, and I think they call them best practices. And
okay.
Like, for example, if there's a topic of, founding new festivals or something. I mean, yes. That's random, but then they would ask three different arts councils from around the province who have done that to come and present together, do a little, what do they call that? Like a
round table.
Yeah. Where they talk very briefly about what they did and what they learned and how they might do it differently the next time.
And that is so valuable.
Yes.
To learn from other people's
successes
and mistakes. Like,
yeah.
For whatever you do, do not do this. that can save a lot of money.
It does. And we have we're into scarcity, right? Like our limited resources prevent us from often trying new things and being risky, but we still need to do it. Mm-hmm. And so to learn some of those things before we even start down that road is very valuable for the organization and the whole community.
Mm-hmm. And Salmon Arm has a great deal to learn from other arts councils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We think that we're to be honest, a couple of conferences I'd been to in the past, I felt like we're very much designed for new arts councils.
Mm-hmm.
And our arts council has been in existence for 43 years now, right? So it kind of feels like, well, we're a bit middle-aged, like, and I'm not in the, you know, trying to find office space mode, right? Like, we're kind of into bigger management issues and program maintenance. And so I found, I looked at the workshop and seminar list for this conference, and it's kind of designed for us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It's about, there's a seminar on mission creep and there's,
not the winery. Sounds like Mission Creek. Mission Creep. Such a big difference, though, right?
There is a big difference.
I could just hear someone saying, those girls in the gallery are going down to Mission Creek for the weekend. No, it's Mission Creep. Sorry, okay. I couldn't help myself.
No. No, it's good. I mean, we're...
you never know.
That is close by, I hear.
Yes,
Mission Creek.
Yes.
Anyway, okay, so Creep is about how you veer off course unwillingly and unknowingly for over the space of time. How to stay true to what you're doing. How to recognize what you're doing well and how to explain it to granting agencies that you're still being innovative because that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it's even if you're doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
And how are you meeting the needs of your community? How are you changing to meet the needs of your community?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make sure that you don't, this has always worked like this before. Mm-hmm. Don't stay the path just because that's the way you've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what that's about. I figure that's important for us.
Absolutely.
Long-term planning and development of programming. That's something that we have to think about because a lot of our programs are long-term. We've been doing Wednesday on the Wharf for 22 years.
Yes.
We've been doing Family Saturdays for 10 years.
Yes.
Right? Like, we have to sort of think about, okay, how are we making sure that those programs are adapting to the changing community? How are we making sure that our, we're serving our purpose, right?
Mm-hmm. That we're still being productive.
Yeah.
And not entrenched in a point of view that's old school.
Right. And
that's killer in the arts. Well, in any organization, really. We've always done it that way.
That's a bad thing.
That's
if
a
you
bad
ever
thing.
Find yourself saying we've always done it that way, then you know it's time to change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we look forward to what other arts councils are up to and what the speakers will share.
Right.
And what we can share too, I'm sure. There's a night market on the Friday night where we all get to sort of do a show and tell.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
And every morning at breakfast too.
Mm-hmm.
We get our 3 minutes.
Ooh, 3 minutes?
Yeah. 3 minutes to say what's
going on. To talk
to
everyone in the arts and culture sector in British Columbia.
Yeah.
That's
I know it's a great opportunity.
Golden opportunity.
And then we hear what other people are doing. And, some lady stands up there and says, we're doing such and such. And you say, holy, that's what we were thinking about doing. So you just find her later.
Yes.
And say, what was that you were saying about?
Tell me everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good about making the connections. You don't have to have a long speech, long lecture to find out how to do something. Mm-hmm. You can just pinpoint the people that are in your vein and find them and
it also helps, you know, build momentum and maintain initiatives. Because when we went 2 years ago in Vancouver, my takeaway was, hey, we're pretty good at this.
Yeah. Right? I know, right?
Which I don't mean that to sound, I think humility is so important in everything you do. You have to be willing to say there's got to be a better way. What more could we do? Could we get better at this? Could we do it faster? Could we do it cheaper? I mean, that keeps me going. But there were also a few moments where I was like, hey, we've done that. Oh, and we did it this way. And it worked.
Yeah.
And other groups are like, oh, you did that and it worked. So it's really, you know, it's good for your, you know.
It is. Because
your collective community ego in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to feel like you're being a leader is kind of empowering, right? And I've heard that too from some of the feedback from BC Arts Council that we've, you know, we've gotten fantastic feedback on our annual grant applications because of some of the programs that we've established or adapted, you know, to the needs and to the mandate of the BC Arts Council.
Yeah. Like because this show is quite innovative.
It is. It's like they even recognized, they said, radio is seen as a new and innovative marketing, or not marketing, you know, public engagement.
Yeah, public engagement
kind of
piece.
Tool.
Yeah. And not a lot of communities are doing
what
this.
What other arts councils release two of their staff members for an hour every week to do this? Right?
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will.
Yes.
Because we'll share that at the breakfast
Yes, we will.
and then we also have an opportunity to distribute some material, which is a nice thing. There's a huge table out during the entire conference where you get to pick up the brochures of other art galleries, arts councils, you know, people who run programs. And there are amazing arts councils who are just sitting in a little tiny hole somewhere running programs, not spaces,
yes.
right? They don't run buildings with things in them, but they run programs outside of their space and they're completely invisible.
Right.
Because, you know, they're just pedaling like crazy under the water like the duck, right? So it's a nice way to learn about, okay, you know what? You don't always have to have the visible space in order to do, you know, really amazing large scale projects.
No.
It's just good learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And excellence too. You know, like you talked about the standards and the best practices. I mean, you have to measure up.
We do.
Yeah. Can't just measure. You got to measure up.
That's right. Yeah, that was the art summit that we went to two years ago. And that reminds me that the one of the other seminars is about public art policy that's on this weekend in Penticton. And I'm very interested in that one because I have been, you know, advocating for a cultural master plan in this community for quite a few years. And I think there's finally going to be some movement. And we've got a plan. We've got a recreation plan. We've got an economic plan, right? We've got all sorts of plans at the city level. Time for a cultural master plan.
Yeah, it's the next thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is going
to
be,
I mean, you know, it would stand to reason that it's the next thing.
And it's pretty inclusive. I think lots of communities, their cultural master plan looks entirely different from one another, right? It's all about kind of what you're looking for in the next 10, 20, 50 years of your community. But lots of it is about planning for infrastructure and things like public art policy is critical because really anybody can just kind of decide to throw up a statue of something.
Yes.
And you have no particular control over the yes, no, does it fit? Like, you know, everybody would have an opinion. It would just be a random yes, you know, approval process.
Like, don't like.
Yeah. Mm. And so
it's not very engaging.
Well, it isn't. And, and maybe great ideas come and go and never get approved. And maybe bad ideas come and get approved just because it's the right time to spend some money. Right?
Yeah. Could
so
be.
So instead of that,
yes.
A proper public art plan, that was a lot of P's, will kind of develop a theme, right? An idea that makes sense for Salmon Arm.
Well, it's a path.
It is.
Speaking of P's.
Yeah. And so what keeps it authentic to Salmon Arm? If there's an amount of money that can be attributed to a public art fund, where that money can come from, like development charges or something, if every green space has to have some element, if every development has to have some public art, right? Like there's all of these things that you can make in a plan and then everybody knows where things fit. And then when you go with an idea, you know, then council's able to say, okay, well, according to our plan,
this fits,
you know, the Edward Snowden bust doesn't fit,
does not fit.
But the, you know, the, I don't know, the heron on the you know, on the telephone poles do fit or
yes.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it makes sense to me to have a plan. It doesn't mean that you limit what happens.
Oh, no, it's not ruling anything out.
That's
right. It's just helping guide the decision making.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we end up with a cohesive public art collection in the community.
Exactly. And I'm really curious to talk to Kamloops and Kelowna because Kamloops just finished theirs.
Yeah.
And now they have a proposal for a performing arts center.
Yeah.
$90 million.
$90 million.
It also has a parkade in it, so
yeah.
It's kind of two things.
Yeah.
So there's that multi-use piece, but
yeah.
I can't wait. But they did the plan first, and now they can address this proposal.
Yes.
And Kelowna is quite active on the public art front. Mm-hmm. I think they do collect DCCs or development cost charges.
Yeah, 1%.
1%?
Yeah.
Holy no.
Calgary too, 1%.
Yeah.
Public art.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. But you know what it makes happen is it makes community spaces
mm-hmm.
because you don't just throw some sculpture up in like sticking off someone's balcony, right? You create a space around it. There's
yeah.
usually seating, there's trees, there's, you know, and so what you've done is create a gathering space.
Yeah. And it's called the built environment too.
Yeah.
Right. And it includes trails and
yeah.
And green areas. And,
yeah. So those are so important for us to learn from
mm-hmm.
because we don't have to build a policy out of, you know, okay, what do we think we need?
Yeah.
Right. Like we can actually look at what other communities
yeah,
have dealt with.
Not good to wing it. I don't think.
No,
but that's
I mean,
just my point
I graduated
view.
From the School of Good Enough. Right. But
yes.
there's some places where you don't do that. You just kind of learn from the professionals, pull in an expert,
mm-hmm.
get through it, make sure you have a good foundation, and then you can adjust from there if you need
mm-hmm.
to. So,
yeah. And so it's really nice to share with other communities and see their vision and how they've been able to manifest it and implement it. And
yeah.
It's inspiring. I can't wait.
Plus,
there's really good Greek food in a bookstore. Awesome.
What else could you possibly want, right?
That's right.
Okay, so that's our big, exciting exploration for this weekend. And it's just, I just want to say before we break that it is really critical that you set aside money. Like, it's not expensive for us to go. It's like $200 or something. So,
mm-hmm.
It's important for us to set aside money in a nonprofit organization for professional development because that is what moves your organization forward.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's our job.
That's our job. So I learned some things when I was away.
Of course you did.
I mean,
tell me. Yes.
And there are things that as soon as I saw them, I'm like, oh, I've got to do that.
I can totally do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So one of the things was in the Herzog exhibition portion at the Vancouver Art Gallery. Their main drive is to build a new art gallery.
Okay.
Right? So Herzog and I can't remember the other guy's name. It's a team of architects that are probably going to be designing, I'm guessing from all of this, designing the new Vancouver Art Gallery. So they did this lovely exhibition of all of their previous big achievements,
mm-hmm.
big buildings, stadiums and, you know, things like that. But before that, in the room before that, there is an exhibition of the collection, the story of the Vancouver Art Gallery's art collection.
And so what will go into the new building kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
why they need the new building.
Yeah, because the Vancouver Art Gallery stores its collection below the Vancouver Art Gallery.
Okay.
Underneath that old building.
Okay.
And in four separate locations around Vancouver.
It's a bit messy.
It is. It's all over the place
because mm-hmm.
it's enormous, right? But what was interesting is this wall. Okay, so you have to visualize this.
Okay.
This huge long wall painted
mm-hmm.
black and then hung floor to ceiling were works from the collection. All in the same very pale wooden thin frame.
Yes.
White mat.
Wow.
And then the piece. And then in the little breaks, like everything an inch apart, like
yes.
put together like a puzzle.
Like a mosaic in a way.
Yes.
Yes.
And then every once in a while, these little blank spaces where
mm-hmm.
they had words, like their vinyl die cut letter words. And it was the history of the collection. So it started way back, you know, in, I can't remember the year, but whatever the year was. And, you know, John Smith donated 14 you know, works from his collection on this date for this purpose after he returned from World War One, and, you know, whatever it was.
Yes.
And then the next thing would be, you know, the gallery received a donation of such and such, the Picasso and the this from so-and-so who traveled to this and had a collection worth something.
Wonderful.
And then the next one was, you know, the gallery moves to such and such a location and acquires 114 works from so-and-so's collection, you know. And so it's the story of how the collection's built
mm-hmm.
over the years.
Yes.
And then finally at the end, and it's, I mean, it's really interesting. And probably my little examples are very dry, but it is really interesting to find out.
No, I can see it. Yeah, a great narrative, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then photographs, certain historic photographs have come into the collection too. So dating way, way back of Vancouver. Anyway, so near the end, it says, you know, this is the, well, I guess in sometime in the 70s or 80s, I can't remember, they actually developed an acquisition fund. And so where that money came from to start that. And then, you know, in the 2000s, this happened. And now that collection is worth $300 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a valuable asset.
It is a valuable asset. And that's exactly what I was telling my kids while we were looking at it. Remember that Detroit didn't go bankrupt because of their
art collection.
Yeah. Because of their assets.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it was just, I looked at that and thought.
I wonder if the bank will lend the money. I have $300 million worth of art. You could build a gallery on that.
You'd think.
Mm-hmm. Won't happen. But.
Probably not.
Just saying. Art is an asset.
Yeah. And so what I saw, what I took back from that, of course, like I looked at Eric and said, how long would it take you to hang that wall, right?
Yes.
He's like, oh my God.
But couldn't you do like a maquette of it?
You mean like
a smaller version?
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
And so this is my thought, is that we could tell the story of our collection.
Yes.
Because the Arts Council's been collecting community artwork since 1970.
Wow.
Did you know that once upon a time?
Oh, that would be so fun.
I know.
Yes.
So once upon a time, if you won the Arts Council's award at the Fall Fair, which was like $20 or something, you had to donate your work to the Arts Council.
Congratulations.
You've just lost your painting.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. For like $20.
See you next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think that lasted long.
No.
But
as a result, we got some pretty interesting pieces.
Yeah.
And famous pieces from famous artists.
Exactly. We have two Chris Crans in the collection.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that one lovely Edith Smythe Holoff piece, Portrait of Emily Carr. And Edith was a very good friend of Emily Carr. So we have some really significant pieces in the collection, but we've come to have them in the collection through very interesting ways.
Yes.
And so to tell the story of the collection and to hang the collection in that fashion is something I totally have taken and I'm bringing back to Salmon Arm.
Nice.
I'm planning that exhibition right now.
You could do a maquette on a wall of the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's exciting.
I know, because it's all about the story.
Mm-hmm.
We have learned that through, well, when we did the storytelling exhibition, right? We learned that people really love to know the story. They not only want...
That's the best way to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a connection that you don't really get any other way.
Yes. You have to have a narrative in order for the information to be sticky.
Yeah.
Yes. No narrative, no sticky.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and then my other takeaway from Vancouver this time, because I always do. I always come back and get all
Well, it's
excited.
Such a vibrant, constantly changing city.
Yeah.
It's just full of ideas.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help it. And you just see something. You go, we got to do that.
Yes.
So was the little tiny tin village in that little hole at Emily Carr. That was the thing I thought, you know what? I remember this. I remember that once upon a time when we first started talking about public art policy, like 6, 7, 8 years ago, one of the things was to activate small spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Activating the small space is cheap. It's easy. It's fast. You don't have to invest like a lot of resources into it because it may or may not exist a year from now.
That's right.
But it surprises and delights, and it tells a story of Salmon Arm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it inspired me to do
and
that.
And it's a little bit guerrilla-like, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like
art.
Yarn bombing.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You don't necessarily have to have
It doesn't have to be high art.
No.
It doesn't have to be on a gallery wall in a
or
gold
permanent
gilt frame.
Art.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we have I think actually the whole temporary public art thing that we have out in front of the gallery right now.
It's working.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It came originally from Vancouver too, because when I went, I can't remember what time that was, but there was, maybe that was at a conference. I think that was the conference I went to in New Westminster.
Oh, okay.
And there was a couple of presentations there about these temporary public art installation places where you'd always see a changing thing. And then the one at English Bay where all of the bronze guys are, you know, those.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You know, that was supposed to be a temporary public art space, right? Do you remember when the ship was there, the big old ship hull? Yeah. And so then it changed to these guys before the Olympics. I think it was the Biennale, right?
Right.
And now it's like there was this big movement to purchase the work because they're so popular. And people are still out there, right now with their selfie sticks.
Oh, I want to go.
Yes. So I think those might be permanent. Mm-hmm. But anyway, for a few years there, it was really big to have this ever-shifting public art, you know, exhibition in your city. And I think that's when I thought, gee, we can't seem to get traction in doing it around the whole of Salmon Arm. So let's just do it in front of the gallery.
Just do one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just do one and we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And so we've been doing it for two years and we got a third one coming up in August now.
And you test the plan.
You do.
Yeah. And then you fix the plan.
That's right. You adapt.
So who's
as
next?
You go. Well, actually, as it happens, so right now we have John Sayre.
Yes.
And he's a First Nations wood carver who's done that awesome Coyote Tricks piece that has there was a lot of symbolism involved. I wish I could tell the story of it out there. Maybe I should just poke something onto the sign outside or something.
Yes.
But the story of the posts that are at either end of that piece is about the mountain ranges that border the Sepupnik territory.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
And the coyotes all have a meaning, the two little babies. Anyway.
Oh, you could put that on the Facebook.
I could do that. Yeah. Yeah. So he'll be there that piece will be there until August. We're changing over in August every year. And the next one is going to be a collaboration between Eric Kutchker and Sharda Marie Keegan.
Oh, wonderful.
So a glass artist and a metal artist together doing a piece. Yeah, yes. That's really exciting. So, I mean, in a way, we're providing opportunities for artists to think bigger and do something crazier and different. And
And then in turn, share that with the people who come to visit us.
Yeah. And it's not
so it's a symbiotic relationship, right?
Oh, it totally is.
We do things that other people take away and other people do things that we take away and it becomes this lovely marriage of, right?
Like yeah.
The bike racks, I think, is a legacy for Salmon Arm.
Yeah.
There's so many things, the film reel, the Saskew sculpture, you know, and we're very fortunate.
We are.
That people will take risks. It involves risk.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
do you know what's the fun part about temporary public art, though? Is that you've taken the risk. Mm-hmm. You make people mad because often there's always somebody that doesn't like it, that complains about it. And then
you can't get five people to agree on a pizza. So
yeah.
Totally expect that.
Yeah. And so then there's you're generating conversation about it, right? You're getting people to talk about art, which is always a good thing, whether they like it or not. And then just when that sort of stuff is starting to die down and people are starting to get used to seeing it every day, you take it away. And they're like, what?
Wait,
where
why?
Did that go?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's perfect. You put something else there and like, what?
It's
what's
a
that?
Coyote trick is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that element of the temporary public art. Just when you get used to it, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, you can't take art for granted.
No. And it just, I don't know. I love, and Diana will support me in this. If she's listening, she'll be like, oh yeah. Sometimes people come in to see the exhibition and they don't like it. And Diana is so good. Dolores calls her the Mary Poppins.
Aww.
She is so good about supporting the conversation about art. She doesn't say, well, yeah, you know, if you don't like it, you
who
can just
you think you
go,
are?
Come back next month.
Exactly.
No, she's like, really? Why? And how's, oh, that's so interesting. You're right. I like that idea. And that, you know, she really starts, you know, like, the other side of the conversation.
The engagement.
Yes.
Yeah. It's true. And sometimes people need. That's right.
Yeah. And they don't need to be
That's
convinced.
Not venting. They just need to have a conversation.
Exactly.
It's not about good or bad or right or wrong or better or worse. Yeah. It's just about
a
conversation.
And nobody needs to be convinced of the other person's opinion or argument, right? It's just a really awesome conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And she is so good at initiating that, maintaining it, like giving people a place to have that. That's good.
And it adds value to her experience and the experience that she in turn helps create for the next set of visitors, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I just want her to be there forever.
I know.
And I'm sure everybody else who visits the gallery would want that too. Mm-hmm. So,
but I mean, all of our choices are informed by choices that other people have made. And I just, that whole circle of knowledge is so inspiring. I'm looking forward to Penticton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very grateful that BC Arts Council supports Arts BC and that BC Arts Council supports us so that we can do things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they see the value too, right? They're saying, you know, don't sit in your little hidey holes in different parts of your province.
Yes.
Get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Network with each other.
That's
talk
right.
to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
help each other.
Yes.
That's right.
We can be mentors.
That's an important piece, yes.
Because, you know, we're actually doing pretty good things, right? So mm-hmm. we can be one of those people up there at the, you know, best practices seminar saying, look what we did best.
I know.
Oh, we did.
I
we
know.
Have to be
no,
confident.
No, I know. We do have to be confident. It's true.
And, you know, one of the things that we keep getting complimented on is Wednesday on the Wharf.
Yes.
And one of the reasons is
And that model's all over
it
the valley, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've mentored two other arts councils on starting a summer concert
series. Is that right? Enderby?
Yes. And another island arts council, which I can't remember, actually. But I had talked
on
to
on the river?
Enderby's is Music on the River.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other lady found me at an Arts BC conference a few years ago. And she said, I heard you guys do a thing. And I said, yeah, you know, and she said, how did that work? How did you start that? I'm like, well, I didn't start it, but here's how it works. And so she took down notes like crazy and we went from there. So
yay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, so we're sharing as well as adopting.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
I love high drama.
It's true, isn't it?
And I love high art.
Yes, you do.
The most expensive gold gilt framed art that you ever did find is where?
The thrift store?
Yeah.
Yes. I found some lovely pieces at the thrift store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's no crime in finding art at the thrift store.
Nope.
In fact,
there's an artist. Oh, I'm sorry, I lost my page. But there's an artist who's taking thrift store finds and painting extra elements in them.
Yes.
And giving them new life as even more famous pieces. So think of, I don't know, 1920s Paris on a rainy day, kind of that velvety art stuff that your grandma might have had.
Mall art sort of stuff, yeah.
And then, boom, there's a Wookiee from Star Wars driving a golf cart. Like, it's seriously bizarre stuff. Or there's another one where it's the big marshmallow guy from Ghostbusters.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. That's the one I saw coming around a building. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I love that.
So they're
brilliant.
Taking kind of vintagey thrift store finds. And it's probably not original art. It's manufactured art.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's putting in popular characters from, you know,
and
popular culture. And it's like this whole new thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, and that is the thing, is that it is super well done.
Yes.
And they are becoming sought after. Like, this is the fun thing about it. It's not just some random person painting in these extra elements and then donating back to the thrift store. I
mean,
these are becoming works of art.
Of art.
And we've kind of talked about this last week, right? Or the week before, I can't remember, about what is appropriation, what is mashup, what is referencing, right? Like, we are in an age where pulling old art and new ideas together and breaking it up and putting it back together is new.
And bringing, and new is bringing back old and repurposing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, here there's one of a little country cottage, and there's Darth Vader and a stormtrooper mowing the grass. And it's silly, but it is, you know. And then there's another one where I think it's Hercules. Remember from the...
Yeah.
In a fall forest scene, you know, and then there's a Doctor Who one. Your girls would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Where the wild things are actually put in a wild painting, right? All kinds of Darth Vader fishing, the marshmallow guy, Spider-Man. I mean, it's really great.
Yeah. So we're bringing the sort of iconic you know, the figures of the 21st century.
Yeah. It's a mashup.
Yeah.
And we've talked about mashup and appropriation before.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I suddenly I'm going to look at these thrift store paintings in a whole different way.
Yeah. Well, who's the artist? What's the guy's name? How can people find this? Because it's actually way more fun to see it rather than to listen to it on the radio.
Canadian artist David Irvine It's called the Gnarled Branch. Collects old discarded paintings from thrift stores and adds pop culture characters like Darth Vader, Spider-Man.
Pop culture, that's what I was trying to think of.
Spock. Suddenly a simple landscape painting is the playground for flesh-eating zombies, Godzillas, and Pac-Mans. What? It's playful. It's great.
People love that stuff.
Oh, for sure. And it's recognizing that we're living in that kind of time where animated characters and superheroes are, you know, they're just all around us.
Yeah. And inspiration comes from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a time when...
Even the thrift store.
Yeah.
Especially the thrift store.
And in the art world, like there was a time when like nobody depicted real life, right? All of the paintings by the masters were of mythology, were of the stories.
Yeah, probably because real life wasn't maybe that fun.
Well, no.
There's no running water and no heat and not much food.
So when all of a sudden, when some artists, and I can't remember who did the Gleaners, I'm checking my engineer to see if he knows, because he's one of those guys that knows everything. He remembers art history classes.
Yes.
But that was kind of the first of the like, oh, you mean it's not the royal so-and-so and her baby, and it's not a Madonna, and it's not a, like the, you know, the Holofernes losing his head.
The god of, or the rat, the Medusa. And the thing with the head. What is that? With the snakes coming out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
it was,
so
that you're was, right. Yeah.
So that was huge, like enormous, recognizing that there is inspiration in our very everyday surroundings. Mm-hmm. And that changed the entire art world.
Hmm.
So maybe that's what's happening again today.
Yes. And, you know, we always talk about what's the next new thing. I think this is the next new thing.
Next new thing.
Yeah.
We found it.
It's true.
There.
Yeah.
And then what's the other? So speaking of inspiration, there was another really interesting story about an ice cream girl.
Yes. So there's a woman who went to the Matisse cutout exhibition in New York City, and she lives in New York City, so it's not like she went out of town and came back. Anyway, but she was so inspired by the vibrant colors, she had a sort of a reaction and started thinking about how these bright colors were making her think about what those colors would taste like.
Wow.
Because she's an ice cream maker.
Yeah.
So she came up with a series of ice cream flavors based on the Matisse collection.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that makes me want to buy her ice cream.
And the packaging is just gorgeous. And of course, in my flurry to find, oh, here we go. Okay. So ultramarine blue ice cream. Oh, so it looks like, oh, it's so great. Persian orange. Doesn't that sound like it would taste amazing?
Yeah.
She also has cadmium yellow, which
is poison.
But it's a beautiful yellow. Then she has a lovely green. And probably my favorite is Noir d'Ivoire. It's like a vanilla bean. So black vanilla beans and white ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fun. Anyway, so there we go. Inspiration.
So inspiration comes from anywhere and ends up almost anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, talk about mixed media.
Yeah.
If you're doing it with ice cream. Right?
Yes.
Totally different.
That's right. And when you change your lens by going out of town or just going down the road a bit, you know, you can bring all of that stuff back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another...
And you can't find it in a mall.
No. Not in a mall.
No.
And you can't always find it on Google.
No.
You've got to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That was last week. It was the Do It show.
and you can't necessarily find it in a resort where all the decisions are made for you.
Right.
Like, you really need to commit to this sense of we're all explorers. You know, find your inner Samuel de Champlain and go out there and find a country.
And maybe don't have a plan, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Although he had some planning as necessary.
You know, I just mean, like, if your itinerary has all the digits used up in the time, right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. 12:19, we're going to go to this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the stumble across is the magic.
Leave room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Leave room in your explorations for true exploration.
For surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun.
I know. I'm so excited.
Okay. So now, after we've gone out to explore and found stuff,
and then we bring it back here to the community.
We do. And I think that's as valuable. Well, maybe not as valuable, but almost as valuable as going out and finding stuff and having wonderful experiences. And that is when we bring artists from outside the area in here to inspire us here.
We have one right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff Wilson
is
from Vancouver. Awesome coastal paintings about the Canadian resource extraction machinery.
A line of ice cream.
He could.
With his colors.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's also... a singer-songwriter coming in?
Yes. Well, that was an interesting thing because I knew that Rodney DeCrew was coming, his friend Harold Nix, who's also an amazing singer-songwriter, booked the gallery for a duo concert between the two of them. So he told me about his friend Rodney, and okay, that's cool. It sounds nice. Yes, booked it in, you know, 7 p.m. April 21st. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. And then I go to Vancouver, and who's on the cover of the Georgia Strait?
No.
Yes, filling up the entire cover. Great big dude.
Wow.
Rodney DeCrew.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And says, he's coming here.
Yeah. He says, it says, a Vancouver treasure leaves the trauma behind him with Campfires on the Moon. That's his new CD.
A treasure.
Yeah. And so he's like famous.
Wow.
And we're getting them here at the gallery.
Here. I know. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I mean, he'd only fit like 60 people in the gallery, but
so
hey.
You better book your tickets.
Well, they're only at the door, so you better just get there early.
Just get there early.
Tickets, $20 at the door. Tuesday, April 21st, so a week away. Mm-hmm. And the doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:30. So, yeah. And you get Harold Nix. I mean, like, hello.
I know.
It's amazing.
It's true.
We're so lucky here.
I know. People want to attract some great talent.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. they're happy to do the small venues, right? Because they feel good. It feels, you know, like, I almost said homey. I don't want it to be homey. It feels good to have intimate concerts.
Yes.
Where everybody has a good seat and you can talk to the performers That's afterwards. Right.
Do you remember that concert? Oh, what was his name? He's from Nova Scotia. Joel Plaskin.
Yes.
At the Soundbar.
Oh my gosh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, and he kept saying, I feel like I'm in a bomb shelter because of the way that, right? And he's like, it's just us. Let's just pretend it's just us and there's nothing else going out there. Aww. He said, let's make it worthwhile. So we all sang. It was fantastic.
So cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Corb Lund was there too in the, and he kind of made a couple comments about the venue. Not negative at all. Just like that it was really, just so close. Yeah. Like everybody's just like right there.
Right there. And he really enjoyed the space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's important.
It is important. Mm-hmm. I think, and you know, it kind of feels like that. I think I saw Bruce Coburn at the Vernon Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
And that felt very intimate because that's not an enormous theater either. Right. And he felt like he was only 20 feet away. Hmm. That was so nice.
Yeah, it
was
nice.
I love the small venue.
Yes.
Anyway, so we got lots of other things happening. Of course, coffee break is this week. So for people listening live to us, they still have time. Thursday afternoon. It's the third Thursday of every month.
Meet Jeff.
Lori Tallarico, if you're listening out there, she specially asked him to wear a kilt.
Oh.
Because he's so Scottish.
Yes.
He said he'd consider it.
Awesome.
So that might happen. But he'll be speaking at 2 o'clock at the gallery. Coffee and cookies, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always worthwhile. And the Shoesop Music Festival starts this week. And so there's lots of opportunities to check out.
Uber talented.
Yeah. Yes. All these different, and speaking of small venues, right? They're kind of all over the city. And you can really get close and listen to the beautiful whatevers, right? The piano, strings, vocals, whatever. Shoesop Film Society has their regular season films going on. There's the Summer Classic is doing its dance performance on screen series. So there's Ivan the Terrible coming up on Sunday. Then there's Rodney DeCrew and Harold Nix concert. And then on April 24th, Shoesop Theater starts their run of, what's that called? Pack of Lies.
Pack of Lies.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It is. I've actually heard so much about it now. And it's an intense story based on a true story, Canadian spy story, and yeah, so directed by Kim McMillan.
Yeah,
and
so don't let me hear anybody saying there's nothing to do in this town.
No kidding, there's
tons.
Like
to
in
do.
The next 8 days alone, it's just madness. So yeah, and then we just always have things. The Selmer is so amazing. They have a lot of things happening at the Selmer that don't have anything to do with movies.
No.
So check that out. Like they have the Live at the Met Opera and the ballet series. And now this other, you know, I mean, they just...
Lots of diversity. Yeah. Lots of inspiration.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so information on all of that stuff can be found on our website, www.salmonarm.ca or salmonarmartcenter.ca. It's the participate page that we list things by date.
And it's all there.
It's all there.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's all there. Mm-hmm. I put as much there as I can possibly manage. And you can find us on Facebook at Salmon Arm Arts Center.
And on Twitter.
And on Twitter.
Yeah.
SA Arts Center. And also my personal one, the SAAG Curator.
Yes.
And explore today.
Yes.
Because you can explore your own community.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's lots to see here. Like even just go outside of your normal walking zone.
Go for a walk. Go to the beach.
And if you can't drag yourself.
Go have lunch at the Mosaic. Come and see us at the gallery.
Yeah.
Ton to do. But it's ultimately, it's up to you.
It is.
Well, it's your trip. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some awesome, inspiring travel quotes online.
Yes.
If you need to get inspired.
That's right.
To move your body.
Exactly.
And do something different. Thank you for joining us today on Artscape. We'll see you next time.
We sure will.